This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Coming up, kvetching about stretching. But first, this week, a grand jury in Manhattan indicted three former Tyco International employees for using company funds as their own personal bank accounts. Tyco's former chief executive officer, Dennis Kozlowski, the company's former chief financial officer, Mark Swartz, and former corporate counsel, Mark Belnick, are all accused of stealing more than $170 million. They have pleaded not guilty to the charges and are out on bail. Our friend from the business world, Joe Nocera, who's executive editor at Fortune magazine, joins us from New York. Joe, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Scott. Nice to be here.
And help us look behind that curtain the Manhattan District Attorney's Office has lifted a little bit about what went on at Tyco.
This is bad. This is as egregious as it gets. Kozlowski and Swartz in particular are accused of basically raping and pillaging the company to the tune of a couple hundred million dollars, using it for stuff like, you know, buying yachts and artwork and second homes and jewelry. And it's just really kind of shocking. And then not telling the board about it. This is what makes it illegal, of course. Yeah. You know, the board didn't know about it. Other people at the company didn't know about it. And then they would kind of scrub the loans clean at the end by, you know, hiding them in the company's books.
With Tyco in mind specifically, but also other corporate scandals that have come to light recently or that have become publicized over the last few years, how does a company go about making itself a desirable place in which to invest money after something like this?
Well, Tyco is actually a particularly interesting case because, in fact, the stock is still at $18 a share and it still has a market value of about, I think, $36 billion. Which is really pretty surprising. And they brought in David Boies, the famous lawyer, to conduct an investigation, and that's always has good public relations aspects. Mm-hmm. They're doing a fiduciary audit, as they call it, of the book so that they can announce, hopefully in 3 or 4 months, that there wasn't too much cooked books going on. It is a little different than the Enron situation. But also in the case of Tyco, what's really kind of weird about it is, you know, this is a conglomerate that owns something like 2,000 separate businesses. Mm-hmm. And they're in all kinds of mundane things. They're in electronics. They're in they make fire alarms. They make healthcare products and so on and so forth. And so Tyco in particular is a case where the business itself, to a surprising degree, has not been that affected by the scandals.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you about allegations involving a case where I guess illegalities are not suggested, but certainly certain business practices are suggested that might displease some people, including, it occurs, me. Jack Welch is getting a divorce. He's had to make bare some of his financial agreements. I used to work for Jack Welch. I owned stock in GE during that time. Speaking as a stockholder of the General Electric Corporation,
right.
I had no idea we were paying for Mr. Welch's groceries, Mr. Welch's job. Well, my gosh, some of the stuff that's in this, what can only be called platinum parachute, must displease an awful lot of people.
To recap, Jack Welch left his wife for another woman. His wife has recently filed for divorce, and in the document, she has described an incredible array of perquisites that he continues to get and will continue to get for the rest of his life from General Electric, including, you know, front row seats to the New York Knicks, courtside seats to the U.S. Open, a box for his beloved Red Sox. This is the one thing Jack Welch and I have in common. We're passionate Red Sox fans. Mm-hmm. Satellite TV at his four homes, you know, wine, food, laundry, toiletries. Someone in my office said, the thing that they didn't understand is, what does Jack Welch actually have to spend his own money on ever?
I checked that. Apparently, the agreement does not provide for dental floss.
Right. So it's along those lines. So this is a situation where the board approved this. The shareholders really did not know the extent to which Jack Welch was being, in effect, taken care of by the company post-retirement.
And maybe we should remind ourselves, how much is Jack Welch worth, at least until he gets taken to the cleaners by his
right.
ex-wife?
It's somewhere in the $700, $800 million range, which, of course, is one of the other great changes in American life is, you know, he's a manager. He didn't found this company. And managers these days who have the long and successful career he has walk away with hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. Whether that's right or wrong is probably a question for another day, mm-hmm. but that's the way the world works right now.
Joe, thanks very much.
Thanks a lot, Scott.
Joe Nocera is executive editor of Fortune magazine, speaking from our studios in New York.
Thank you.